you may be more to your liking. I have given you 30 journal prompts here. Buy yourself a small notebook, set up a document on your computer or your tablet, or just staple a few sheets of paper together and begin a journal. The purpose is really to think about why you eat and how food makes you feel. You can use these prompts one by one in order. You can skip around and write about the ones that speak directly to you on any given day, or you can deviate from these prompts entirely and write whatever helps you personally. After you have exhausted these prompts, continue your journaling by writing about any successes, failures, or revelations you experience. Or you could be like me and join some Facebook groups or other internet support forums and interact with others there. No matter what format you decide on, there is something powerful about writing down your thoughts. 1. What does food mean to me? 2. I deserve to be slim and vibrant more than I deserve to eat recreationally. How does that thought make me feel? 3. What lies do I tell myself about food and eating? 4. Why do I eat or want to eat more than my body needs? 5. How will I handle naysayers who say that fasting is bad for me? 6. How important is the scale to me? What if I don't see quick progress? How will I cope with that? 7. When I am bored and want to eat, what can I do instead? 8. Why do I want to lose weight? Really, deep down, why? 9. Other than food, how can I reward myself? 10. Do I ever keep eating when I am full? If so, why do I do that, and how can I stop? 11. How will I handle social situations where I feel pressured to eat, but I don't want to eat? 12. What foods make me feel good, and what foods make me feel bad? 13. How will my life change if I can get control of my eating or my weight? 14. What has stopped me from losing weight in the past? 15. How do I define success when it comes to this lifestyle? 16. What behavioral goals can I set for myself? Note, behavioral goals are more powerful than pounds to lose goals. This is because you can control your behavior, but you can't control how much weight your body releases in a given time period. 17. What habits support my weight loss or health goals? What habits work against me? 18. Who can support me as I work through this process? Friends? Family? A partner? 19. How do I feel about the thought that this lifestyle is forever, that this isn't a plan you stop when you get to goal? 20. What, besides eating, brings me joy? 21. How do I feel during the day when I fast? How does that compare to days when I don't fast? 22. How do my clothes feel on my body? Are they getting looser or tighter? 23. How do I make a switch from diet mentality to lifestyle mentality? Do I need to? 24. When did I feel best in my body? How old was I? How did I eat at that time? Can I learn any lessons from that version of me? 25. What does delay, don't deny mean to me? 26. How do I define a special occasion when it is okay to feast rather than fast? 27. Do I have some foods that I consider to be good foods and some that I consider to be bad foods? How can I break free of the labels I have given to food so that food doesn't have as much power over me? 28. How do I want to teach the next generation, my kids, my grandkids, to approach food and eating? What lessons do I want to pass down? 29. When I reflect upon my own history related to foods and diets, what lessons have I learned about myself? 30. How does it feel to finally have control of my eating behaviors? Appendix C, Annotated Bibliography. All of these outstanding books are available from Amazon in Kindle or Real Book format. Every single one of them was instrumental in shaping my understanding of how the body works. Any errors I have made in the summaries about the content of the books are mine and mine alone. I would recommend any of them, and I would love for you to support these pioneering authors by purchasing their books. These books aren't listed alphabetically, in order of publication, or according to any other accepted form of bibliography formatting. Instead, I have arranged the books in order on a scale from completely changed my life to also a great resource. I'm assuming you know how to go to the Amazon website and search by book title. That will get you to each one of these books. Happy reading. The Fast Five Diet by Dr. Bert Hearing. Of course, I have to list this book first. If you have read my story, you know that the Fast Five Plan was my introduction to intermittent fasting, and I first read this book in 2009 or so. Even though it took me years to finally commit, I kept returning to this plan until it finally clicked for me. Dr. Hearing writes this book in a very approachable way, and it's an easy plan to follow. If you read it, look for his casual comments about eating one meal every day, and understand that you probably aren't going to be very successful if your goal is to eat as much as you can in a 5-hour period. Dr. Hearing is a true pioneer in the intermittent fasting community, and I am eternally grateful to him for his work. One caveat, after reading The Obesity Code, I no longer agree with his recommendations about drinking diet sodas while fasting. He takes more of a try it and see if it works for you approach, while I am hardcore, don't do it, insulin release. If you read The Obesity Code, you will be the same way. Dr. Hearing also has a website and provides health coaching for a fee. If you need more personalized support than a Facebook group could give you, check out his health coaching services. The Obesity Code by Dr. Jason Fung. This book changed my life even though it was not the first book I read on fasting, and I had already reached my goal weight before I read it. This was the one that really helped me understand how the body works. It tied together all of the loose ends that I picked up along the way into one cohesive big picture. It was after reading this book that I accepted the fact that I needed to give up my beloved stevia during the fast. Boy, was that hard, but the science he outlines is so compelling. Anyone who reads this and then decides to continue using any sort of insulin-stimulating products during the fast, I just don't get it. I had so many aha moments while reading this book. One thing to know about it is not always an easy read. It is long. You may need to reread sections to understand the science. If you are impatient and want something that is quick and to the point, you may not enjoy this book. I, however, have read it multiple times, and every time I do, I learn something new about the body. Dr. Fung explains how important hormones, especially insulin, are the key to the weight loss process. He also discusses the many benefits of fasting and how what you eat can make a difference. I do think that he could have been more specific about how to fast, and apparently he agreed with me because within a year he released a second book called The Complete Guide to Fasting. The second book is further down on my list because it didn't teach me anything I didn't already know. That being said, it may be a better choice for anyone who is looking for less sciencey books. AC, The Power of Appetite Correction by Dr. Bert Hearing. Yes, Dr. Hearing is on my list twice. This book was released when I was partway through my weight loss journey, and it gave me one huge aha moment that has had a permanent impact on my mindset. I'm not sure that I would be where I am today without having made that mental shift. In this book, he introduces us to the concept of appetite correction, AC, and I think it is genius. He really makes it clear that while intermittent fasting, we need to keep modifying what we are doing until we reach the holy land of AC. The thing about appetite correction, you know it when you feel it. Suddenly, fasting isn't a struggle. You stop eating when you are full. Everything clicks into place when you reach AC. He's absolutely right, and understanding the power of appetite correction helped me realize how I personally needed to approach intermittent fasting. I didn't have appetite correction when I used stevia during the fast. I didn't have appetite correction when I did 4-3. I didn't have appetite correction when I tried to cram 2 meals into a 5-hour window. I don't even have great AC when I open my window a little earlier at 3 p.m. Over time, and with lots of trial and error, I understand that I have the best appetite correction when I wait until 5 p.m. to open my window. When I do that, I don't have to time myself while I eat or consciously restrict. This is the goal that every one of us is looking for. You want to be in a place where you are listening to satiety signals and you are not fasting through sheer willpower alone. When you understand appetite correction, you can experiment until you get there. The Science is Skinny by Dee McCaffrey. I don't even follow Dee's recommendations for what to eat, but I still have this book up high on my list because it's a great introduction to what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat in theory. I did follow her suggestions briefly, very briefly, along the way, but it was just too hard for me to commit to processed-free living. I did realize, however, that I feel really good when the bulk of my diet is made up of real food, as in, what our great-great-grandparents ate. That realization affects my choices to this day because I would rather feel good than eat total crap. I'm certain I would be healthier and leaner if I stuck to her guidelines, but I just don't want to, darn it. If you read this book, overlook her recommendations about eating frequent meals. We are intermittent fasters, after all. I'm certainly Dee would be very upset with me if she met me. She's completely anti-sugar, and I eat sugar every day. She doesn't like refined grains, and I eat them every day. She wants you to eat frequently, and I fast every day. You get it. I don't follow her recommendations. Sigh. That being said, if I started gaining weight or wanted to lose more weight and was having trouble, I would not hesitate to tweak my diet to include more of her guidelines. I believe she lays out a sensible plan for how to eat for health, but I just like processed food too much. Bread, ice cream, cookies, yes, yes, and yes. I am happily delaying rather than denying, though I do sometimes think about her recommendations when I am deciding between two things. All other factors being equal, I'll select the lesser processed item in her honor. Also, thanks to this book, I am more likely to incorporate nutritious foods into my eating window. I eat a lot more veggies than I used to, for example. The Carbohydrate Addict's Diet by Drs. Richard and Rachel Heller. Again, here is another plan that I don't follow, but it is high on my list because it helped steer me towards the one-meal-a-day lifestyle. It's not even available in e-format, and you want the old version from 1991, which you'll probably have to buy as a used paperback. The pure gold is in the introduction where Rachel describes her weight loss struggles and eventual epiphany. She is finally able to lose weight when she starts skipping breakfast and lunch and only eating dinner, all thanks to a rescheduled doctor's appointment that required her to be in the fasted state. Rachel invented intermittent fasting and discovered appetite correction, but she didn't even know it. She reaches the nirvana of appetite correction by eating one meal a day for dinner, goes on to lose all of her weight, and maintains effortlessly. Sound familiar? If not, reread my chapter on the one-meal-a-day lifestyle. She was living it before it was a thing. The actual plan listed in the book is a combination of low-carb meals with one daily reward meal, at which time you can eat whatever you want within a one-hour eating window. This book was truly before its time, as the principles make complete sense when you view her recommendations through the lens of the obesity code. I believe that intermittent fasting with one meal per day, which is what she actually did, is more powerful than the low-carb plan she recommends. However, if you are having trouble adjusting to an intermittent fasting lifestyle, I would 100% recommend that you start with her book's plan and work your way up to the one-meal-a-day plan. The Complete Guide to Fasting by Dr. Jason Fung and Jimmy Moore. I already mentioned this book in the section for the obesity code, and I told you that it is listed further down my list because I didn't learn anything new. I was so excited for this book to be released and was a bit disappointed when it actually came out. Still, it is a good choice if you find the obesity code to be too tedious for you. I want to warn you, because Jimmy is co-author, this book has a decidedly low-carb, high-fat, keto slant. Heck, even Dr. Fung has that low-carb, high-fat, keto slant on many of his blog posts. If you know Jimmy Moore, you'll recognize him from the low-carb community. And you also know that he has written several books related to following a low-carb, high-fat, or keto lifestyle. Since Dr. Fung promotes insulin control as the key to managing weight and health, it was only natural that the low-carb, high-fat, and keto community would embrace his work. This book is an example of the collaboration between the two. Before reading this book, you need to understand something about Jimmy Moore. Even though he follows low-carb, high-fat, and keto, he has a hard time maintaining his weight loss and also never reached his final goal weight. Thanks to his collaboration with Dr. Fung, he is using fasting, both long fasts and intermittent fasts, to help him make progress. Even though I personally delay rather than deny, I recognize that there are people who are so insulin resistant that they may need to incorporate low-carb, high-fat, or keto strategies along with intermittent fasting to truly reach their goals. This book is a great resource for anyone looking to combine the two approaches, which is not going to be me, nope. Hashtag, I love you carbs. Good Calories, Bad Calories by Gary Taubes. I loved this book when it came out in 2008. It's nonfiction, but it reads like a thriller in certain sections. Taubes weaves his way through years, decades, centuries even, of nutrition dogma and shoots holes in many commonly held theories. High cholesterol is bad? Is it? Is it really? He questions everything we have been told, and when I read his book, I realized that not all beliefs we hold as true are based on solid scientific studies. Just like Dr. Fung, Taubes questions the legitimacy of the calories in, calories out theory, And ever since I read this book, I haven't believed that calories in, calories out is either as simple as most people think or as accurate. As Dr. Fung does in The Obesity Code, Taubes makes a case for insulin being the driver of obesity rather than calories. Once you understand that, you understand why fasting works so well for weight loss, especially when you take great care to prevent insulin spikes during your fast, as I recommend. I haven't read this book in years, but once I get my book published, and if you're reading it, you'll see I did, and I have some time on my hands again, I think I will give it a good reread. Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It by Gary Taubes. This was his follow-up to Good Calories, Bad Calories. As in the first book, Taubes discusses how many of the commonly held beliefs about diet and nutrition are flat-out wrong. Calories in, calories out, completely destroyed. Once again, Taubes makes a case for insulin being the driver of obesity rather than calories. When this book came out, I gave low-carb, high-fat one more try, and it still didn't work for me. As I mentioned in earlier sections of the book, I don't feel well when I follow a low-carb, high-fat lifestyle, and I also love carbs. I can't stick to low-carb, high-fat, and even when I did make myself stick to it for a couple of months, I didn't lose any weight. I just can't lose weight when I eat all day, no matter what I'm eating. No, for me, I don't lower my insulin enough by eating low-carb, high-fat all day long. I lower it by using intermittent fasting. The underlying science, however, is the same. If you understand the principles in this book, you understand why intermittent fasting works so well, thanks to the insulin control it provides. I'm going to reread this book right after I reread Good Calories, Bad Calories. Both are excellent. By the way, Gary Taubes has a new release called The Case Against Sugar, and I am not even going to look directly at it in the Kindle store because I am not about to give up sugar. I'll give it up for 19 to 23 hours of every day since I am fasting, but that is it. Sorry, Gary. No. The Every Other Day Diet by Dr. Krista Verity. This is an excellent book, and I highly recommend it to anyone considering an alternate day fasting or ADF approach. Dr. Verity has done a great deal of research in a university setting on ADF, and she has reported great results from her strategy. She suggests that you eat a 400-calorie lunch or dinner plus a 100-calorie snack on the down days, which she calls diet days. Personally, I found that I was able to comply with the diet days better when my calorie intake was zero, because once I start eating, it's harder for me to stop. She also recommends lunch specifically for your 400-calorie meal, and I know myself. If I tried to eat a 400-calorie lunch and then eat nothing else besides a 100-calorie snack, I would be so hangry that everyone would have to avoid me for the rest of the day. It is so much easier for me to eat nothing at all than it is to stick to a tiny meal. You may find that you do very well with a 500-calorie day, however. If you want to try ADF, this is the book I would recommend first. The Alternate Day Diet by Dr. James Johnson. I read this book before I read The Every Other Day Diet, but I still like Verity's book a little better because of her research. Still, this is another great ADF plan. His plan is often referred to in diet circles as the JUD plan, which stands for Johnson's Up Day Down Day Plan. J-U-D-D-D. I am pretty sure that he is the person who came up with the up-day-down-day terms. The Fast Diet by Michael Mosley and Mimi Spencer. I really wanted this plan to work for me because it is so easy. Pick any 2 days per week and fast, and the rest of the time eat normally. It's what we call 5-2. In this plan, as with the ADF plans, fast days are really 500-calorie days, and you can spread them out throughout the day however you want. I used my own version of 5-2 for maintenance, and rather than eating 500 calories on the 2 down days, I did full fasts and went to bed without having eaten anything. 5-2 is just not enough fasting for me to lose weight, though thousands of people have success with it. The 5-2 Diet by Kate Harrison. Kate Harrison takes the plan developed by Michael Mosley, which was originally not a book, and put it into book form. Confused? Let me explain. Dr. Mosley first presented his work in a BBC documentary, Horizon, Eat Fast and Live Longer, where the concept of 5-2 was actually born. Kate Harrison took the ideas from the documentary and put them into this book. Later, Dr. Mosley and Mimi Spencer wrote their own book. Whichever plan came first, they are both the same. 2 days of 500-calorie fast days and 5 days of eating normally. Eat, Stop, Eat by Brad Pilon. This book is also available through Brad Pilon's website at eatstopeat.com. Brad is an internet marketer, so you'll see all sorts of hype on his website prompting you to buy now to unlock the secrets of intermittent fasting. Even if you don't buy it, it's worth a trip to his website to take a look at him because he is a bodybuilder and he is ripped. Even though he is a muscle-bound man, which isn't my preference, my husband is lanky, he does have a gorgeous physique and there is no harm in a quick peek. Go ahead. I'll wait. Brad illustrates through his own physique that fasting is not going to cause you to lose muscle mass like many critics claim. Brad's actual plan involves a couple of 24-hour fasts every week, which you do as a dinner-to-dinner fast. It works well for him, a bodybuilder with loads of muscle mass and very little fat, but is definitely not enough fasting for me to lose weight. Still, it's a great illustration of the concept that fasting won't destroy your muscle mass, and I do mean a great illustration. The Warrior Diet by Ori Hofmeckler. This is such an interesting book, even though it is pretty far down on my list. Ori Hofmeckler presents a case for eating like a warrior, fast during the day, and then feast at night. Actually, he calls the part during the day the under-eating phase, so you aren't really fasting in the way we understand it. It's almost intermittent fasting, but not quite, because he allows you to eat small amounts of things during the day, such as fruit. He provides some interesting historical context to the idea of feasting every night, which is why I included this book on my list. I wouldn't recommend following it the way he has written it because you aren't really fasting. Instead, read it for the historical insight, but follow it using the fasting recommendations I give in this book during the day. If you do, you are following the one meal a day plan, which you know is my favorite and the way I am currently living my life. The Calorie Myth by Jonathan Baylor. This book is farther down on my list, but it was another that shaped my current thinking about calories. Just as Dr. Fung, Gary Taubes, and Dean McCaffrey insist, Jonathan Baylor explains that all calories are not equal within the body. I like any book that shoots holes in the calories in, calories out myth, which is why I included this one. Honestly, in my opinion, anyone who still believes that all calories are treated the same in the body just hasn't read very much about nutrition. While we all know that you could lose weight eating nothing but Twinkies, we also understand that you aren't going to get the same results if you eat 2,000 calories of Twinkies each day versus 2,000 calories of raw vegetables. Also, you're going to have terrible long-term results on this type of Twinkie plan. If you still don't believe it, either conduct a study of one using yourself or read Jonathan Baylor's book. Appendix D, Testimonials, Fasting Works. In my years of intermittent fasting, I have met some truly inspiring people who have used intermittent fasting to get their health back. Here are some of their stories. In their own words, they will tell you how intermittent fasting has changed their lives. I have to admit, this is my favorite part of the whole book. You don't have to take it from me. Intermittent fasting not only works, but it changes lives. Notice the common thread in these stories. Just like me, most of these people have tried diet after diet over the years, and many had given up on ever being slim until they discovered intermittent fasting. Enjoy these inspiring stories of success and hope. Shirley Jean, Breaking Free from Diets. I have been a yo-yo dieter for about 45 years. I have been on just about every diet you can think of, with my lowest weight just under 130 and my highest at 230. I have literally spent thousands on commercial programs, pills, powders, shakes, diet books, gym memberships, exercise equipment, exercise books, and videos. I even worked for 1 year as a weight loss counselor for a well-known commercial weight loss center, believing I could finally lose my weight and learn from the experts how to keep it off. Ironically, I was also chosen to lead the lifestyle classes. So much for learning from the experts. I did lose 28 pounds, but eventually became tired of the same old food, most of it not filling, satisfying, nor tasty. Whenever I embarked on my newest endeavor to drop weight, I found myself with a completely focused mindset, determined that this time I was going to reach my coveted goal weight and magically I would maintain that number. Alas, the few times I met that goal, I remained there for a very, very brief time. I just wasn't willing to continue with those diet foods, powders, shakes, pills, and endless meetings for the rest of my life. Since I never learned how to maintain my new size, I always had anxiety about keeping my weight off. The lost weight would creep back on until I started the next diet. Vicious cycle. About 2 to 3 years ago, I started hearing about intermittent fasting, and after trying various intermittent fasting protocols, I heard about Jen's One Meal a Day Facebook group. I was intrigued because I had done this before with great success. Back in the late 70s, I read a book with a crazy title, The EATFYL Diet, which stood for Eat All the Foods You Love in 1 hour once per day. I did this, enjoyed it, and was very successful losing the 15 pounds I wanted to lose. I viewed the diet as a temporary means to lose my excess fat, never as a maintenance plan. Without the research to back it up and no support group like we have today, I did gain back the weight. After a few brief attempts with one meal a day over the past year or so, I became serious about one meal a day with Jen's September 2016 challenge on her Facebook group. I started out in my typical way, in a rush to get to my goal weight. I projected into the future with a laid-out plan. If I lose X amount of weight each week, then I will reach X weight by X date. I weighed myself frequently and charted my weight on a graph. I also weighed and measured my food, kept a food journal, and counted calories. Thanks to Jen and her no-weighing philosophy, I eventually realized that the scale has never helped me succeed. It's always been a love-hate relationship and quite a roller coaster ride. In early November, I decided to stop weighing for a while, which meant I stopped charting my weight on a graph. It also meant I would stop projecting my weight loss into the future. Wow, that's three diet behaviors. I then decided to examine other diet behaviors of mine, such as keeping a food journal, counting calories, weighing and measuring my food. I had an epiphany as I realized that all this weighing and measuring and counting and tracking of my body and my food reinforced in my mind that one meal a day was just another diet and not a permanent lifestyle for me. I made the decision to stop any behaviors that felt like diet behaviors to me. I no longer track anything, and I no longer focus on numbers. My focus is to continue one meal a day each day, one day at a time, knowing I'm continuing to get smaller. I'm not 100% perfect on this journey, but I am making progress. When I last weighed myself in early November, I was down about 42 pounds from my highest weight, with 23 pounds of that lost with one meal a day since August 31st of 2016. I do want to release more weight, but I have no goal weight number. Right now, my goal is not a number. My goal is freedom to enjoy food without guilt, without deprivation, without weighing and measuring and counting and tracking. And I'm there. I'm living at my goal. This is my permanent lifestyle. This is my maintenance. Robin, I finally did it. It took 8 years, but I've now lost 100 pounds. I'm just 5 pounds from a normal BMI. I can't thank Dr. Jason Fung enough for giving me the info I needed to make it happen. I believe Jen was the one who first posted his YouTube series for me to see. That series changed my life. I surely could have done things faster had I had his info earlier. Keto plus fasting equals what works for me. I've done a little bit of everything as I think it's good to switch things up. When I first started, eating one meal a day didn't allow me to lose, so I did longer 42-hour fasts, maybe 3 times per week. Then I added low-carb, high-fat, and keto, and that helped too. I also sometimes do multi-day fasts where the first 2 days are a fat fast and the next 1 to 2 days are just coffee. I think changing things helps. Now I can still continue to lose with 2 keto meals a day, but I'll continue to work longer fasts in as I try to lose maybe 10 to 15 more pounds. K.S. I have been eating one meal a day, dinner, for almost 20 years. I had no idea that this was a thing. In fact, I have been fairly secretive about it due to people's reactions, and in order to avoid being accused of having an eating disorder. Whenever I am confronted about people from work or family about my eating habits, I usually act casual and change the subject because nobody really understands how well this has worked for me. I started by accident in 1998 when I was 20 years old and worked as a waitress. I would start work at 6 p.m. and have dinner at work. Then I would work all night, get home at 2 or 3 a.m., go to sleep, wake up in the afternoon, and go to work. This is how my one meal a day journey started. My body adjusted quickly and kept this up after leaving my waitressing job and going back to school. Within a year, I had lost about 50 pounds. I kept the weight off for many years. In 2011, I gained a few pounds, probably because of age, but was still well within a normal weight. Now, 2 babies later, I've lost most of that baby weight. I'm not as strict as I used to be, but still maintain my one meal a day diet on most days. I literally can't function if I eat lunch now. I'm just way too tired. Amanda, I've always been a chubby person. I remember weighing 150 pounds in the 5th grade. When I was 18, I started skipping breakfast and lunch and just ate dinner. At the time, I was unaware of fasting and was just tired of being overweight. I don't know what I started at then, probably 165 pounds or so, but standing at 5'6". I got down to 140 pounds, size 4 jeans. Then my fiancé came along. I got a little comfortable, gained some. Then after we married, I packed on the pounds and was up to 185 pounds, which at the time, I remember it being the biggest I had ever been. I got tired of it and started dieting again. I've never much been a breakfast person, and so I just started skipping lunch, which left dinner. And I walked like a crazy person. I would get up every day and walk 2 to 3 miles before work at 1 p.m. in the afternoon in the hot summer. And then at work, I was walking nonstop for 10 hours straight. And I purposefully would go up and down stairs more than needed. I never used my step counter at work, but trust me, it was a lot. I got back down to 140 pounds again. That's my ideal weight. Again, at the time, I had never heard of fasting or anything, so I didn't tell anyone. And I would still drink sugary stuff, so it wasn't a true fast, but I was only eating once a day, and it's part of my journey. After that came 2 kids. After the first baby, I weighed 165 pounds and kept that for several years. We tried several times to have a second baby, and we lost 2 in the process. I was depressed and gave up hope. Food was my friend. When I got pregnant again with my daughter, I was up to 190 pounds. I'm hypoglycemic, and when I was pregnant with her, it was crazy how fast and hard an episode would hit me. I took a nap once and woke up having a bad episode and remember scooting down the stairs on my butt because I was too weak to walk, and I had to keep stopping and forcing myself to stay awake because I kept going in and out. Then I crawled to the kitchen and grabbed a box of cereal and laid on the kitchen floor, eating as fast as I could, hoping I could stop it before passing out. It was the worst episode I've ever had, and it was scary. After that, I remember making sure to eat every hour. A sandwich, an apple, a cookie. It didn't matter, just something to keep my sugar from plummeting. My husband works a lot, and I had a toddler to care for. I couldn't risk being home by myself with him and having another bad episode. He wasn't even old enough to understand 911. So after I had her, I weighed 203 pounds. After a few years of focusing on taking care of the kids and ignoring myself, I weighed 216 pounds at my heaviest. It was the summer of 2014. We took the kids to a theme park, and my husband took a picture of me on a ride with the kids. When I saw the picture, I was horrified, disgusted, and tired of being overweight. I started skipping meals again and started riding my bike every night. By Christmas that year, I was down to 178. I felt good, and I stopped trying. Then in April of 2015, when I realized I had gained and was back to 185, I was upset. That's when I got really serious. I went back to just eating dinner, but at that time I had joined a fasting group who thinks it's only about calories in, calories out. And I didn't know any better at the time, so I was still having my coffee with sugar and cream in the morning, would eat dinner, and then go for a run. After that, I'd drink some wine. I also started doing Jillian Michaels' 30-day shred workout every morning. I worked up to running 6 miles every night. By August, I was down to 143 pounds. I felt great, full of energy, and was happy with myself and life again. I could cross my legs again, see my collarbones again. I could run miles upon miles without stopping. I could go outside and play with my kids without tiring out. I wore a size 2 jeans for the first time in my life. I maintained that through spring of this year, and it had crept back up to 156. But once I joined the One Meal a Day Facebook group and have started fasting the correct way, I've lost 3 pounds. I love fasting the correct way. I'm not hungry, and I eat less during my meal times. Whereas before, when I was having sugar and cream in my coffee in the morning, I was miserable all day until dinner. I'd been sick for the past 2 months, and being on medicines that were required to be taken with food morning and night, I've not been really able to jump in. But the few times I've been off medications, I've been successful. I just started a new medicine Friday that's got to be taken for 14 days, so I'm going to watch how much I eat and try to fast for 16 hours so that I'm doing some fasting but still taking my medicine with a little food so I don't get sick. I started at 216 pounds, size 16 to 18 jeans, and got to 143 pounds and could comfortably wear a 4 and sometimes a 2 depending on the brand. With 1 meal a day, I will get back to my ideal weight again. I have before and I'll do it again, but this time I'll do it the right way. And I'll maintain this way of eating. It really is the best. Hannah. I am Hannah from Egypt. I am 53, but I was only 29 after having my first child back in 1992 when I had to travel to France with my husband for 2 years. I was 58 kilograms, only 3 kilos above my pre-pregnancy weight and quite satisfied. In France, everything changed. The media, to the petite French women, preached a svelte physique. I got the feeling I was fat and started counting calories every day, exceeding my limit, failing, blowing it, and binging to start over the next day. And my bulimia started too, with depression. I came back to Egypt 60 plus kilograms, depressed, bulimic, and perpetually dieting. They started me on antidepressants, and I became really fat. Between 1994 and 2012, I went from 62 to 90 kilograms. And all through those years, there wasn't a day I wasn't dieting. I tried so many times to get off the antidepressants, but relapsed every time, so I'm on them for life now. I did manage to lose around 12 kilos several times during those years with a dietitian's help, only to gain them with a few extra kilograms each time. I lost money on dietitians, diet books, health foods, diet medicines, etc. I developed breast cancer in 2012 and thought I'd lose weight with the chemo, but didn't. But I realized I was killing myself. One day, I was browsing Amazon for yet another diet book when they suggested I purchase Dr. Mosley's Fast Diet book. I clicked only because I thought fast meant quick. Fasting was the last thing on my mind. I was unable to fast even for religious causes. But I was desperate, so I ordered the book. I started 5-2 fasting in 2013 because I thought if I could eat without restriction in quantity or quality for 5 days, it was worth restricting for 2 non-consecutive days. With time, my appetite got tamed. It took almost 1 year to lose 10 kilograms. Then I became impatient and wanted quicker results. I spent 2014 and a good part of 2015 doing the 5-bite diet and completely failing, but I never regained those 10 kilograms, I think because there's some sort of fasting involved in 5-bite and I was hooked on fasting. I just can't take any food before 4 p.m. now. In September 2015, I started on the every other day diet after reading the book. By December, I had lost another 10 kilograms. After that, 36-hour fasts seemed unsustainable, and I've been on Dr. Bert Hering's Fast 5 diet ever since. I don't lose on it because the eating window is too long, I think, and I eat too much. I found Jen's wonderful group and started seriously on one meal a day, hoping to lose the last 10-plus kilograms. I'm not in a hurry. I'm working on myself to stop or limit added sugars during regular days and to incorporate some sort of extended fast once every month. Besides the weight loss, my HbA1c has gone from 6 to 4.8, and the last time I had my abdominal sonar, the physician found no evidence of the non-alcoholic fatty liver I used to have. Brian. Somewhere in the 2000s, I was in California and had gained weight to 280 pounds. I have never been super small. I weighed 180 in high school and was in pretty good shape. I started working out and eating better. I was able to lose 30 pounds, then moved back to Spokane and joined a gym and worked hard to diet and worked out to 195 from 250. I did a lot of cardio at the time, so I had lost 85 pounds but hadn't gotten to see my abs. I moved away from my gym and stopped working out, started dating a girl as well, and eventually gained back to 271 when I got married. We went on Weight Watchers freestyle, counting points or whatever. Lost a bit, I think 20. We stopped doing that and we both gained weight, I think. I was still around 270-ish and we did HCG and lost down to 220. As soon as we stopped starving ourselves, we gained the weight all back. I hovered at 280. Next, I tried vegan for 6 months. Then I lost my wife in 2014. I didn't weigh myself, but had the crazy idea that no way was I over 300 pounds. Then one day I stood on the scale at my in-laws and saw that I was at 328 pounds. I didn't weigh again, so I could have been over 330 when I started working out. The first thing I did was get my gym membership back and started going to the gym. I cut my eating and started counting calories and doing about an hour of cardio and then 1 hour of weights 5 days a week, sometimes more. I ate lots of veggies and would end up skipping breakfast sometimes because it felt better to work out on just coffee, even though I added caramel creamer. I did that low-calorie diet for 6 months and was able to get down under 300 pounds. I felt a lot better even though I was still heavy. In August, I stumbled upon intermittent fasting. I think after one day, I had just drank coffee, worked out, and then didn't eat all day. I remember feeling that I should eat and I could eat, but I wasn't really in need of food. I found the warrior diet, which is fruits and nuts during the day and a feast at night. I discovered the words intermittent fasting and looked up a ton and watched a ton of videos, read a bunch of studies, some were bogus and some were just about fasting. I read some blogs about fasting and saw results. The biggest thing I noticed was a lot of the blogs or stories ended with, "And all this can be yours for $39.99." So the next day I stopped eating during the day and had just one meal at night. I read all about hunger hormones, among 100 other new vocabulary words. I nonstop Googled. I drank my black coffee, drank a ton of water, and ate one meal. I have deviated on 3 occasions. 2 were vacations, 2 days each, and I longed to go back to one meal. My body craves it. The other was a cake I needed to try, so I did. Even though I think it triggered some hunger, I was in the life and knew the real hunger versus the hormonal hunger. I haven't reached my goal yet, which is to be ripped. But this is the easiest way to lose weight. I don't restrict anything, although I don't eat some things I used to, since it's just not worth it to my taste buds. My total weight loss today is 76 pounds. My average weight loss from March is about 1.97 pounds a week. That average keeps going up, since I have lost way more in the last 3 months versus the first 6 months of following calories in, calories out. Bev, this is the short version of my story. I weighed around 300 pounds in the 1980s. I was depressed, and I prayed, and was led to eating only one meal a day and walking. It took me 2 years to lose 150 pounds. I ate one meal with no more than 870 calories per meal. I started out eating frozen dinners because I could not cook. I had been on every diet known to man all my life. At an early age, I took diet pills. The most I had lost before trying one meal a day was 70 pounds, and I gained it back. With one meal, I was successful. Through that journey, like I said, I started with frozen dinners, and I rewarded myself with something sweet. The downside to this was the bondage of counting calories. During my journey, I also stopped eating meat. I am back to eating meat now. For a decade, I ate vegetarian. That was extremely difficult. Back then, it was difficult, where I lived, to eat that way. You had to be creative. I ate a lot of beans. I joined the Facebook group because I wanted the fellowship with others who were doing it also. I am just doing what I did back in the late 80s and early 90s. I had never heard of Dr. Fung. I like the way that I do it because it's proven successful for me. I no longer count calories. Most times I eat at 1 p.m. and I stop when I am full. I don't eat any more until the next day. If I eat later, like 5 p.m., I am preoccupied with food the entire night. Getting enough calories is not an issue because I eat lavishly. Good fat, good meat, and good sweets. Sometimes. I'm getting to where at the end of the meal I have no room for the sweets. I allow my body to dictate. Robin, from Modesto, California. Here's my story. When I was in high school, I went on a ride at Six Flags and was kicked off due to my size. That was the most humiliating moment of my life, but I still did nothing to fix it. 3 kids later, I packed on even more weight, and my kids wanted me to go on a roller coaster with them. I refused because I didn't want to relive that moment again. It was at that very moment I realized my weight wasn't just affecting me. It was affecting my entire family. So the following week, I started the ketogenic diet. 2 weeks later, I was intermittent fasting with 16-8. 2 weeks after that, I started eating only one meal a day. That's when I learned how great of a tool fasting is, especially when I'm eating low-carb, high-fat. My starting weight was 330 pounds. I'm now 272 pounds, a 58-pound loss. I love my way of eating and don't ever plan on stopping. It's a way of life now. Debbie from Jamaica. Hi, my name is Debbie from Jamaica. I grew up slim and never had a weight problem in my teens and early 20s. I got a job at 19 in a factory. The pace was fast and I was moving a lot. I got a promotion and the weight piled on. I was able to shake it off by not eating. The weight went. Then I would fall into the routine again, and of course, the weight came on again. I had some stressful work-related issues, so I ended up on Xanax for a short time, probably a month, but it messed me up. I gained weight, and I felt horrible. I tried the lemonade diet and lost a lot of weight, but it did not stay off. I moved from 126 to 160-ish. I hated myself. I went to the gym. Of course, the weight was so slow coming off. Fast forward to 2007. I started university, part-time working, and going to school. The weight piled on, snacking in the nights, in class, reaching home at 11 p.m., and eating again. I tried HCG injections and lost about 20 pounds, and then I got pregnant in 2012. During the pregnancy, I hardly gained weight. After I had the baby, I was out of control. I gained and gained. I was more depressed. I tried to watch my eating, but nothing worked. I resigned myself to being full of fat. Then along came baby number two. Same story as baby number one. 2016 rolled around. I was 213 pounds. I walked past a mirror and was shocked by my appearance. Huge tummy, hump in the back of my neck. I was so sad and felt hopeless. I started to search. I tried the Daniel diet, and it was so hard. I needed to buy food for myself different from my family, which became a strain on my mind and the budget. I came upon some videos on YouTube. I was impressed how simple it seemed. He was able to eat regular food, and he lost a lot of weight. I had a glimmer of hope. I searched on Facebook and came across a wonderful support group. The one meal a day way of life is so stupidly simple, and it works. The last time I checked, I lost 18 pounds. I started this in September of 2016 as a present to myself. I know I have lost more, but I don't have a working scale. This is so freeing, and I will be eating this way for life. I feel great, and I have a ton of energy. I will not be going back to eating the way I used to. I am sorting out my relationship with food because I used it as a crutch. Not happy, eat. Angry, eat. Happy, celebrate, and eat. Malia from San Diego. I started 16-8 and then moved to 18-6 in October because I felt I could sustain that. I found that I was still binging, so I looked for something else. One meal a day. That might be the key. I am now using 5-2 as my template for a 5-2 one meal a day transformation program. I don't like calling it a diet. My goal is to lose 4 pounds a month for the next year, which will get me to my ideal weight. As a parent in my 50s with 4 kids under the age of 20, I want to live longer and be there for them, enjoy them as they continue to grow, not become a bother to them because of my health issues. These programs are great, and the best thing, as I found out, they are interchangeable. Make it work for you, not you for it. Laura from Tennessee. I am Laura from Florida, living in Tennessee for now. I was always too thin until I got married at age 20. Then I started to gain weight. I did the yo-yo diet thing, always gaining about 10 pounds extra each time. I gave up trying to lose for a while, but then got re-motivated when I went to a concert and almost couldn't fit in the seat. I Googled and stumbled across intermittent fasting. I then discovered one meal a day while researching. I went from 220-plus to 150 since March. It is now December. I love it and will eat this way forever. I want to wear a size 8. I'm in a 14 now, but I am getting there. Denise from California. I tried and tried to make intermittent fasting a part of my life. I, in fact, had been practicing it unbeknownst to me for years in the form of 16-8 when I began to just skip breakfast in order to consume less calories daily. So when I heard of one meal a day, I thought, great. I thought the 24 method should work fine. I started and realized that getting to my weight loss goals, I'd need a smaller window for a little bit. 24, I believe, will be a great maintenance tool, but I was never able to make it past that 19-hour mark. I was ravenous, and I couldn't understand why everyone else was doing it so easily. After some advice from Jen, fighting it along the way, I finally decided no more Splenda in my coffee and no more artificially sweetened waters. That meant cutting anything with aspartame in it. I started reading labels and avoiding those products. I didn't think it would make that big a deal, but I knew my body would just thank me for not consuming those poisons anymore. It was like magic. Not only was I able to go 20 hours without eating, I shortened my eating window to 1.5 hours. It felt incredible. It was like almost overnight. I would say I decided to shorten my window probably 5 days after stopping the sweeteners, including my beloved diet soda. So there you have it. I'm a believer that those sweeteners spike insulin, which causes hunger, not true hunger. I'm so happy I decided to give it a go. In just 4 days of stopping the sweeteners, I'm down 2 pounds. I think I can live without them. Katie. In February of 2014, in anticipation of my 10th wedding anniversary, I pulled out my wedding gown. I could not even zip it, even with the help of my 9 and 10-year-old daughters. There was at least an 8-inch gap between the zippers. I packed the gown away and vowed that by my 11th anniversary, I would fit back into it. I was 348 pounds. I started with Atkins, which is my old standby. Calorie counting was always an epic failure and left me ravenous and fatter. After the first 20 pounds, I said, I'm doing this. Still, I knew that this would not last. I love beans and lentils, soft, fluffy bread, cake. I also had 5 children and a husband. Eating salmon while they ate beans and rice made me feel guilty. I stumbled my way through that first 20 pounds, then I read about JUD, Johnson's Up-Day, Down-Day Diet. The core problem I had was that I was a binge eater. I grew up in a home where there was no food security. It was feast or famine. So when surrounded with good food, I feasted until I could feast no more. This was a lifelong habit I didn't even realize I had. Judd was awesome for helping me realize the first truth of fasting. Hunger wasn't an emergency. I could very well live happily while hungry. It will pass. It doesn't grow and grow. However, more days than I would like, I would find myself binge eating on my up days. Just eating to eat. Stuffing my face to stuff my face. Weight loss was still good, and that saw me through to the 290s. I felt pretty accomplished with a 50-pound weight loss. At this time, I began trying one meal a day on my down days. It sometimes worked, but my blood sugar levels would leave me shaking and dizzy at times. My hormones were all out of whack. Unexpectedly, I found out I was pregnant with number 6 in 2015. Judd was pretty hard to do, so I switched to a more hunger-directed eating at that point. But most days, I just ate what I wanted without overdoing it. By the end of the pregnancy and postpartum period in January of 2016, I weighed right back in the 290s. At that point, I decided to switch more to one meal a day eating style. I had an emotional breakthrough that I was a binge eater. That's the why of it, how my relationship with food was messed up. No diet would ever be successful if I didn't figure that out. I did have a lot of emotional work while pregnant. My blood sugar levels made one meal a day very hard at first. I would shake, feel nauseous, grumpy, dizzy. Sometimes while preparing my family's lunch, I would say, "Oh, I can't do this," and eat, feeling more terrible with each bite. At first, to get me through those tough first couple of weeks, I would allow myself hard-boiled eggs when the worst of the spells would hit. Not having to suffer through the shakes made it possible because I was comfortable. That is how it became a lifestyle for me. Eventually, I didn't need the eggs one day. Things began to be corrected in my body. I have been doing one meal a day fasting on either 18-6 schedule or 23-1 since. I have done days where I wake up hungry and it feels like a different hunger, and I eat those days. The next day I am back on. Sure, I take my breaks also. The longest has been for 2 months, and wow, I felt like crap after that long of an absence. Still, when I came back to it, I didn't need the eggs this time or anything. It was like riding a bicycle. My body knew what to do. As of today, I am at a 116 pounds loss, and if I didn't count the year I took off for pregnancy and postpartum, it would have taken me probably about a year to 16 months to lose that. Wonderful results for being able to eat what you want, for curing hormone issues, for people on a budget who can't afford specific foods needed for a diet. One meal a day has saved me. I have no doubt that the 70 pounds extra I am carrying will come off this year. By the way, my wedding gown fit by my 11th wedding anniversary just as it did on my wedding day. Now, it is too loose. Sandy, from Michigan. I'm 63 now. I was always a big girl, 183 when I graduated high school, dieted all my adult life. About a year and a half ago, I found Dr. Burt Herring in Fast 5 and lost 30 pounds. And then I found this great group, One Meal a Day, and switched over to this to get the last 10 pounds off. I love this way of eating. I will do it for the rest of my life. I'm 150 pounds now at 5'6". I'm happy wearing size medium instead of 1X. Mary, I have the obesity code book. I've been a high-fat keto eater for 10 days. I have a weight loss goal. I maintained a 50-pound loss, portion control, 19-5, bite counting, low carb, off and on, for 16 months doing one meal a day. I did gain some weight over the holidays this time last year, but lost it all very quickly upon returning to one meal a day. Since October 2nd, I'm down another 30 pounds doing 19-5 or 23-1. I still have 55 pounds to lose to reach my goal of a BMI of 21, which is where I was when I was dating my husband 22 years ago. I'm wearing clothes I haven't fit into since 2008. Pam, from Toronto, age 42. I follow this way of eating for health issues, specifically digestive issues. I spent the last 4 years trying to get rid of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, found in 80% of people with IBS. I saw 2 regular MDs, 3 gastroenterologists, and 5 naturopaths. I spent thousands of dollars and had numerous tests done, was given herbs, supplements, prescriptions, etc. Every time I ate, I would get symptoms of discomfort and lower belly distension. I developed a fear of eating. Last June, I had a tummy bug and couldn't eat most of the day, but made myself eat something at night as I didn't want to lose weight. I did this for 4 days and noticed I had zero digestive issues during this time. I researched and found the Warrior Diet and then the One Meal a Day Facebook group. I haven't had any digestive issues since One Meal a Day. I am thrilled and my doctor supports this way of eating and said fasting is the best thing I can do for longevity. I'm so happy. Rebecca, I have tended to be overweight my whole life. I remember when it started. I was around 6 or 7 years old and came home from school and felt hungry, so I ate a snack. I must have been exceptionally hungry that day because it felt so amazing to eat that snack. At the wise age of 6, I then rationalized that snacks made you feel better. So it began. My weight has yo-yoed ever since then. I have tried almost every mainstream diet out there. Low carb, even keto. Low calorie, low fat. Several small meals. These diets work temporarily, but I can never stick to them. I have no willpower. About 2 months ago, the dawn hit me. Back when I was a smoker, I never ate breakfast and lunch. Not intentionally, I just took my breaks and lunch at work outside to smoke and never ate. That was my thinnest during my adult life. When I quit smoking and subsequently started eating 3 meals a day, I gained roughly 70 pounds. That brings me to present day, and the dawn that came to me was 1 meal a day. I Googled the phrase and realized it is something that people actually do. I found the Facebook group and started right away. I am currently around 2 months in and have lost 13 pounds. To some, that may seem slow, but let me point out I eat whatever I want during my 1 to 2 hour window. Anything. And all of it that I want. That's what I love about this way of eating. I have eaten a half of a large pepperoni pizza a few times, half of a dinner box from McDonald's. I eat fast food, restaurant food, and dessert every single day. I know that eating healthier would increase my weight loss speed, and I see that I have started to crave healthier foods as well. I think I will slowly work my way to healthier foods, but for right now, this is working, and the freedom to eat whatever I want is letting me stick to it like I never could with standard diets. I can't wait to see what lies ahead for me with this lifestyle. S.A. from Meadowlands. I've tried everything, anything, spent money. But since I started eating 1 meal a day in August, I look and feel good about myself. I used to weigh 80 kilograms, and now I'm 69 kilograms. My ideal weight is 65 kilograms. Big belly is gone, and even my skin is beautiful. What makes my life more exciting is that I'm from a size 40 to a 34. When people ask, I tell them. Their response, shame, food is so good. At times, I end up not eating but make a fruit smoothie. I drink lots of water. Also, before bedtime, I drink warm ginger water, and first thing in the morning, I drink plain warm water. You'll be amazed what the morning water will do for your body. JJ from Maine. Here's my story. I did not embark on fasting for weight loss, though losing a few pounds was going to be a side benefit. I started fasting as I saw an article that said fasting would decrease inflammation in the body. I had already been doing 12-hour fasts for the last few years, so I thought I would escalate it and do 16 to 18 hours. Back in 2003, I was diagnosed with an uncommon form of arthritis that affects my spine. The doctors were telling me I needed to get on an injectable to keep my spine from fusing. So this summer in July, I took an injectable drug and it stays in the blood and body for 30 days. Well, I had pain relief, but I also had an uncommon reaction in that it affected my neurological system and it was like I was high for 30 days. It affected my reading and writing. I just did not care about anything, and I was really happy, like 15 out of 10. So needless to say, I was not going to do that again. I prayed for God to show me something to do, and then the article came along. I only intended to fast on, say, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I was on vacation, and it morphed into 18-hour days for 3 days in a row. It was at that point that I noticed that I had no pain in my knees, and I had a lot of energy. So I went another day, no pain in my shoulder. Another day, no pain in my back. Weird. So I just kept going. Then it occurred to me that I felt like I did on the medication, but not so escalated. Just a 10 out of 10 for happiness. I felt very peaceful and mellow and had so much energy. In the middle of October, I thought, gee, I might hurt myself if I keep this up, as all my friends and family thought it couldn't be healthy. So I went back to eating normally. By day 3, I could not get out of bed. So much back pain. Unreal. Could not figure out what happened. Next morning, went back to fasting, and 3 days later, the pain was gone. Kept it up until Thanksgiving. Only intended to go off fasting for the holiday with free-range eating, but it expanded to 5 days. By Wednesday, I was in pain and couldn't walk around. Back on the fasting, 100% pain relief. Even today, in 15-degree weather, no pain. Mind blown. Still trying to get a hold of my doctor in Boston.